It is good to be with you today and bring greetings from the Lord's people in Maesukuma. Thanks for the invitation and for your welcome again. I want to direct your attention to Hebrews 3 that we read a little earlier. Christians are called to live the Christian life day by day. We don't live the Christian life in fits and starts, spasmodically or episodically, but life for the Christian is to be lived day by day. We're not to be people who live in yesterday, as it were, or for yesterday, as if we're always harking back to the good old days. Nor are we to be living for tomorrow. Nor are we to be living as Christians only for today. But rather we're to be living each day in the light of yesterday and in anticipation of tomorrow. That is, we live in the light of what God has done in the past and what he has promised to do in the future. That is God's calling to every one of us to live then every day, day by day, for him. And every Christian receives daily grace in order to enable us to live like that. And as a result, though our physical nature experiences ongoing decline and decay, our inward spiritual nature is being renewed day by day, the Bible says, by the daily grace of God to us. And we thank God for that. So there's little wonder then that we praise God. Every day I will praise you, the psalmist says in Psalm 145, and I'll bless your name forever and ever. That ought to be the constant attitude of our heart. Now this morning I want us to think about this daily responsibility that we read of in this chapter. So we'll take as a text, well, three times repeated, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And verse 15, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And then in chapter 4 and verse 7, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So a threefold exhortation from the scriptures that justifies a certain level of sermonic repetition. An exhortation to daily listening. As God daily speaks, we should listen and not harden our hearts. Now, it's very important whenever we study a text of Scripture to set it in its context, and that's particularly important when we come to this letter to the Hebrews. The writer of the epistle is anonymous to us. We don't know who he is. And rather than a letter, what he writes here is more like a theological essay sent to certain Hebrew Christians, hence its name, to the Hebrews. And these Hebrew Christians had come to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as the Son of God, and as their Savior. But now, in a number of ways, and for a variety of reasons, they're in danger of renouncing the Lord Jesus Christ and of lapsing back into their former Judaism. That was the situation. And that is one reason why this epistle is so relevant to us, actually. Because whether we are Hebrew Christians or Gentile Christians, it doesn't really matter. But we too are exposed to the same dangers as these Christians were. Not one of us is immune to the danger of backsliding, nor are we immune to the danger of total apostasy. We either engage in the daily fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, or we do not. And that warfare is unremitting. And we can be tempted then, in the face of it, to give up. Persecution, especially today for us in the form of ridicule from family members, from friends, from work colleagues, is extremely painful to sensitive spirits. And then there's the pressure, the prevailing pressure of secularism, intellectually and morally, constant pressure through television, through radio, through all the modern media, mass media, that's unremitting. And it's very difficult to stand up against those pressures which ever threaten to overwhelm us as Christians. So how can we possibly stand firm and not be swept away by the flood tide of secularism or just sheer evil? How can we hold fast the confession, which is an oft-repeated phrase, as you know, in this letter to the Hebrews? How can we hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, without losing our grip? Or how can we cling to our Christian moorings, as he says at the beginning of chapter 2, as you might know, and not drift away from them? That's the theme of the letter to the Hebrews. Just glance down at verse 12 of chapter 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That was the situation then. But what advice does this anonymous author give to these believers as the best protection against slipping away, against backsliding? Well, one of his great themes is a theological theme, which is not what we're looking at this morning, even though it is a major theme in the epistle to the Hebrews. It is that the Lord Jesus Christ is unique, that there's a certain uniqueness about Jesus and a certain finality about Jesus, that God has spoken in the Lord Jesus, that God has acted once and for all in Christ, who stands superior then to every other person. He's superior to the angels, he tells us. He's superior to the prophets. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to Aaron, superior to the Levitical priesthood. And he has won for us an eternal redemption. So it is utterly inconceivable, is the argument of the book, that we should ever turn away from him. That's the main theme of the epistle, a theological theme. But there's a second theme that I want us to think about today, and it is the practical theme. That is, that we need to be perpetually vigilant, living day by day by day, a day at a time, listening every day to the voice of God, never hardening our heart against him, but responding day by day to the voice of God as it comes to us. And then our hearts will never be hardened, and we'll never drift away, because we will be living one day at a time, day by day, responding immediately to the voice of God. It's a very important practical lesson. So let's look at this text this morning, and hopefully we'll learn a few important things from it. The first is this, that God is speaking today. God is speaking today. That is fundamental to the thesis of this writer of the letter to the Hebrews. There is a voice, a heavenly voice, to which we should pay attention. So verse 7 and 8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. So there's a voice to listen to, and the author takes it for granted that God is speaking with a living voice, and that he's speaking through the biblical text that he's quoting. Now, this truth that God is still speaking today provides us with a healthy biblical corrective to a couple of notions that are quite widespread in the church. One false notion is that God spoke, but that he speaks no longer. That's held by people who would take Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. They'd know that by heart. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And we're told that both the verbs there are in the past tense, they are aorist verbs, and therefore they refer to the fact that God spoke in the past. Well, that's quite right. God did. And then they go on to say that this divine speech of centuries ago completed the revelation of God. And you know, that's right too. That's also correct. And so the canon of Scripture is closed. So God spoke through the prophets, he spoke in his Son and in the apostolic witness to Jesus Christ, but then he stopped speaking. Ah, well, now that's where the mistake is made. They're absolutely right in what they affirm, that God spoke in those ways, but they're wrong in what they deny. It's not what they affirm, it's what they deny. When they say, therefore, God is speaking no longer. You see, that view reduces scripture to a sort of museum piece, doesn't it? Under glass, like a fossil, the word of God held up like an exhibit for us, musty and mildewed. And such a view reduces God also, because it makes God like an idol, having a mouth but never speaking. But notice how verse 7 begins. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. So the Holy Spirit is speaking with a living and a contemporary voice. And we need to avoid this notion then that God has spoken, but that he doesn't speak any longer. That's a mistake to make that denial. The second false notion is that God is speaking today, but that what God says need have nothing to do with Scripture. And people who affirm this view, either in a plain statement or as is more often the case by implication arising from their practice, clearly don't understand or believe in the finality of Jesus Christ and the finality of the Holy Scriptures. So they believe in new and fresh revelations from God that God is giving today that supplement the Scripture, and the more extreme amongst some will say override the Scriptures. Because the Bible is such an old book, they say, we need fresh revelations from God, as if the Bible were a dead book. But though people who hold those views often speak about Jesus, the views they often express are actually derogatory of the unique authority and glory of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus Christ is God's last word to the world. God spoke to the world in Jesus fully and finally, and in the historic apostolic witness to Jesus. And nothing can be added to what has been revealed then by God through his incarnate Son, the Lord Jesus. So we're to avoid those two particular errors. The view that God spoke, but he doesn't speak any longer, and the view that God speaks, but that what he says doesn't particularly have anything to do with Holy Scripture. Instead, the true balanced notion is that God speaks through what he has spoken. Scripture, the Bible, is not a museum piece. It is the vehicle through which the living voice of God is heard today. And this text is an outstanding example of that great truth, that what God spoke, he speaks and speaks and speaks afresh in every generation. You can see that from this text, how God's voice in Scripture becomes contemporary in every generation. Because what we find in Hebrews 3 and 4 actually spans a period of 3,500 years. Stage one is the time of Moses, about 1200, 1250 BC. And that's referred to in verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. Now, that's a quotation from Psalm 95, where as in the rebellion is translated of Meribah, and the phrase as in the wilderness is translated of Massa. So the reference in verse 8 is to the two incidents that appear at the beginning and at the end of Moses' ministry during the wilderness years, those 40 years of wandering. On both occasions, there was no water, and the children of Israel complained to Moses, saying, what have you brought us into this wilderness for? Is it that you want us to die of thirst? And so Moses prays to God, who tells Moses what to do. And he strikes the rock and water gushes out from the rock. And in both cases, instead of listening to God's word, his promise to sustain them and to bring them through the wilderness to the promised land, the people rebel against his voice and put him to the test. So that's where the story begins, way back in the life of Moses, about 1250 BC. Stage two is the life of David, 300 years later, when he wrote Psalm 95. And he refers to those two incidents in the life of Moses, and he says, "Oh, that today," David speaking of his own day, the 10th century BC, "Oh, that today you would listen to his voice and not harden your hearts as they did 300 years ago in the wilderness." And then stage three is 1,000 years after David, in the first century AD, when the author of this letter to the Hebrews quotes Psalm 95 and he applies it to his own readers. And he introduces it with the words, in verse 7, "As the Holy Spirit says, today." And that day was his own day. In the first century, he was addressing his readers with the very same appeal to listen to the word of God. So the letter to the Hebrews carries on the same exhortation down through all those years. Stage four is today, February 2020. 2,000 years on in the story, and we read verse 7. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart." And we read it and we rightly apply it to ourselves. And we ask, what does that word today mean? Well, it means the 23rd of February, 2020. That's what it means. In February 2020, as God's voice comes to you, he's saying, listen to it. Don't harden your heart. So God's appeal to his people that they should listen to his voice was given first through Moses, 1200 BC. It was repeated through David, 300 years later. It was repeated in the first century, 1,000 years later. And now 2,000 years after that, the same word comes to us in the 21st century, today. As you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And we really must learn that lesson because it is a life-changing lesson. God has spoken through the prophets, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then through the apostolic witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he speaks still to this day through what he has spoken. Today, God still is speaking. The second obvious thing to learn from the text is that we must listen to the voice today. If today he is speaking, today we must listen. What a terrible tragedy it is that throughout the history of mankind, God has been speaking and is speaking and speaking and speaking, and men turn a deaf ear to the voice of God and they refuse to listen to him. There's a tremendous emphasis in Scripture on the necessity of listening to the voice of God. It's a great theme in Moses, particularly in the book of Deuteronomy, where again and again you come across the phrase, "Hear, O Israel, listen, listen, and then be careful to do all that God has spoken to you, and then it will be well with you." Again, it's the great message of the prophets through whom the word of God came to the people. In the prophecy of Jeremiah, many times you hear, "From the day your fathers came up out of Egypt and to this very day, I have persistently sent my prophets, my servants, day after day, but they did not listen." And this was the epitaph recorded over the grave of Israel, recorded in 2 Chronicles 36. "Yahweh, the God of your fathers, sent persistently to you by his messengers, but you kept mocking his messengers and despising his word and scoffing his prophets. until the wrath of God arose against you and there was no remedy. So through Moses and the prophets, again and again you hear that appeal. Listen. Listen to the voice of God. And then the Lord Jesus comes, and we find exactly the same emphasis, don't we? Do you remember how he once said, "Let these words sink down into your ears"? Or again, "He who has ears to listen, let him listen." Again, at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, "Anyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And anyone who hears these words of mine and does them not is a fool building his house upon the sand." And quoting from Deuteronomy, the Lord Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So we have to listen to this word. We have to receive it. "Oh, that today you would hear his voice." Psalm 81, "Oh Israel, if you would but listen to me." Is there anyone here like that today who needs that word? You're not listening to God's voice. He's been speaking to you since your childhood days, but you are not listening. "Oh, that you would listen to me today," God says. The major sin of the church today in many places, in many lands, and I know that the situation of the church varies widely across the world, I know, but the major sin, it seems to me, in the church today is that of not listening to God's voice. In the West, the church continues to languish. In the developing world, the church is growing at an astonishing rate, but so much of it is superficial and weak. Why? Well, it's because of what Amos calls a famine of hearing the word of God, either because the word of God is not being preached from the pulpits, or because the people in the pews are not listening to it, or worse still, because the preacher and the people have hardened their hearts against the word. The church is dead whenever it is deaf. The deadness of the church is due, more than anything else, to the deafness of the church. "Oh, that you would listen," God says. So today God is speaking, and today we must listen to his voice. And then thirdly, today we must not harden our hearts. Now, we need to be clear what Christian listening is, that it's different from other kinds of listening. Christian listening is not primarily a matter of your ears. Christian listening is primarily a matter of your heart. Christian listening is not just hearing, comprehending, and understanding the message of God. That's not it. It is believing and obeying what God says. That's Christian listening. And that's a matter of the heart. So here in Hebrews 3, we have in verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins." So a hard heart does not believe the promises of God. A hard heart disobeys the word of God. So as we hear the word of God day by day, we need to be responding to it with faith and obedience. Whenever we are reading the scriptures, let's immediately respond to the word of God. We mustn't allow it, you see, just simply to wash over us so that it passes over like water off a duck's back. That's a really serious error. That happens, however, whenever you begin to postpone obedience, because you think, well, it's a bit uncomfortable today, and it's a bit inconvenient to hear God's word today and to do it, so it'll be better to do it tomorrow, or next month, or next year. I'm going to put it off. But you see, postponing our response to God's word is to harden the heart against the word until what happens in the end is you deliberately refuse it. We're not to put off our obedience until tomorrow because we don't know what a day will bring forth. And the fact is, it'll never be easier to obey God's word than it is today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, and it's today that we must not harden our hearts against the word of God. And then in verse 13, we read that we are to exhort one another every day. In other words, my responsibility and yours is not just that I listen to the word of God myself with ear and heart, but exhort one another to do it also within the Christian family, within the household of God. We are to warn one another about signs of lethargy. We're to warn one another about procrastination and disobedience, or of hardening our heart against God's word. It's a dangerous condition. We're to exhort one another today to be responsive to the word of God today. That's one of the vital responsibilities and benefits of belonging to a fellowship of a local church. Christian friends, Christian brothers and sisters in the family who will exhort us daily. That's a responsibility that the Lord lays on every one of us. So the living voice of God speaks through what he has spoken. His word now inscripturated, preserved for us in the pages of Holy Scripture, are nonetheless his voice speaking to us today. And we are to listen. We are to have an attentive ear to God's voice. We are not to harden our hearts, but immediately we are to believe and to receive the word of God and to obey that word. Preachers are to endeavor to preach. There must be no slackness in bringing the word of God to God's people. It ought not to be the preacher's fault that people stop listening to the word of God. And each of us, every day, must endeavor to hear God's voice in Scripture, as our Savior did. Remember how Isaiah the prophet portrays for us Christ, the servant of the Lord, in Isaiah 50, where he speaks in this way, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. That's the Savior speaking. God wakening him, and he listening to the voice of God every day, not being rebellious to that word. And therefore, he could bring a word to the weary, he says. Morning by morning, listening to God, listening expectantly, listening like the prophet Samuel did, you remember. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Your servant is listening and responding obediently, not hardening the heart, but responding immediately. Again, I'm reminded of Proverbs 8, where we have the pre-incarnate Christ as wisdom personified, speaking to us in chapter 8 and verse 34 of the Proverbs. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Well, the Lord help us to be doing that as a responsibility, a daily responsibility as the Lord's people, every day.